Michael Remus and Connor Rabchak here. Winnipeg Sports Talk post-game report. Following Winnipeg Jets 7-6 win over the Colorado Avalanche in Game 1 of Round 1 in the 2024 Stanley Cup Playoffs. Connor, how's it going? How are you feeling after that one? That was maybe one of the wilder games, wilder atmospheres, wilder things you'll ever experience. But how are you feeling here?
I'm tired. I'm exhausted after that game. I think that might be, I'm just running through it in my head, that might be the best game I've ever seen live here in this building. 7-6, I mean, so many goals. The frantic start, 3-3 at the end of the first. Like, it was just crazy. The atmosphere was awesome. And hey, 9 straight wins. Jets got the 2 points tonight. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, big win. It was great.
Yeah, and the playoff, you know, in the regular season, we'd be like, well, you know, is that really repeatable? But hey, you get the win. There's no 2 points here. That's all that really matters. Maybe not what you'd want to see over and over again, allowing 6 goals. But hey, you scored 7. You got the win. And I'm sure they'll look to improve on things next game. But before we get into the game at all, I mean, playoffs in Winnipeg, the whiteout, it is a completely different animal. And I showed up a little late. I think you went in early, but I showed up a bit later. And maybe one of the few times where you show up, you know, right before a puck drop, right before the anthems, and there was no traffic here. Yeah. There was no lines to get into the building. Everyone is inside, ready for warm-up. They're out on the street for the multiple street parties going around. It just had a different feel. It's like Winnipeg Jets Halloween. Everyone's wearing white costumes out there. It is... It was something else, and I thought I was ready for it. I've been to a number of playoff games before, you know, most recently last year, but maybe because the Jets are on this win streak heading in, they're second, they're not limping into the playoffs or just squeezing in the past, but there's certainly a big playoff feel, big intensity here with the crowd.
Yeah, like you said, I got here a little bit earlier, and I was the same way when I got here. I got here at 4:30. The lineup to get into the street party was wild. Tons of people out front, and then you get inside the building. People are here early for warm-up, as they are for the whiteout, cheering the team on as they come out onto the ice. And then the game speaks for itself. But beforehand, the crowd was ready to go. The intros were great. The pregame stuff put on by the Jets really got the crowd going. And this playoff atmosphere was incredible. It was great.
Yeah, Hoosley bringing in for the anthem as well.
I love that.
The anthem in playoffs is always bigger, I feel. But the crowd, and I, you know, you saw people, you know, before getting, you saw people during the game, like out of market, national people like Pat McAfee,
Spittin'
Chicklets, John Boucherglas here from ESPN, a number of writers who cover hockey. Everyone's like, oh, this looks insane, incredible on TV. And, you know, we're here in the press box, like way above, but it was loud, you know, hitting 110 decibels. Throughout the night, regularly, it was an experience, and it felt different than last year for me. Maybe because I think the Jets were down or it was tied coming back actually, but I don't know.
Limped in though for sure, and it was a different vibe. But there's definitely a different feel because I think that's a great point. They're riding this 8-game winning streak going into the playoffs. They got home ice advantage with that 7-0 win over the Avs. There's a different feeling around this team right now than there was last year, and that definitely played a part in the crowd, the excitement for the game, it being a 6 o'clock start on a Sunday helped, not being a 9 p.m. Monday start. The fans brought it. It was the best atmosphere by far this season. I went to one of the games last year as well, Game 4. It was better than that as well. One of the best Winnipeg whiteouts I've been a part of. And then the game, I mean, fans must have been exhausted leaving the arena. Like, this is all lead up, but the what is it, 13 goals I would score is unbelievable.
Getting a lot of texts from people and a lot of tweets saying, oh, my heart, I don't know if I can take that. It was an emotional roller coaster ride, and I think that's what the Stanley Cup playoffs is.
Yeah.
You know, you think the Jets are playing so well, it's going to be easy. And you're saying, oh, they're going to beat the Avs. But, I mean, that road is just up and down, up and down. Yeah. So we're going to see how it goes throughout the playoffs. But to the game, I mean, coming into the game, a couple lineup changes. Colorado, Jonathan Drouin, they announced on Saturday he's out for the series, which is a big blow to them. He was on the top line. Sam Girard was out for the game, defenseman. And for the Jets, we knew Morgan Barron was out, and it was David Gustafson coming in. I don't know. I think the the injury is more significant on the Av side.
Definitely.
Than on the Jet side. And, you know, no surprise that Gustafson would be in instead of Perfetti.
Yeah, especially on that fourth line role. Mm-hmm. That's what Bonus mentioned. It's top six, bottom six. If there was an injury in the top six, Cole Perfetti would probably be in. But it's that bottom six role, the grinding style that Bonus wants. And yeah, for the Avs, I mean, Jonathan Drouin, mm-hmm. maybe not a top line player per se, but a player that can fill in on the top line and have an impact. That was a huge loss for them. Zach Parise filled in on that top line. And then on the back end, Sam Girard, usually on their second pairing with Josh Manson, they just seem to be rolling their defensemen, like first two at the gate kind of thing. Because I saw some wacky pairings. It wasn't Taves and Makar. Sometimes it was Makar and Sean Walker or Josh Manson. There was a lot of different pairings from Colorado, and I think Girard being out played a big role in that.
Yeah, Colorado really came out firing tonight. 9-1, out-shooting the Jets in the first 5 minutes. I thought Nikolaj Ehlers on his puck touches, you know, he was really good at holding on to it, trying to make things happen. There was a nice 2-on-1 there. But, I mean, first 7 minutes, Jets outshot 11-1. 11-1. So
yeah, and the players talked about that in the post game, saying there was kind of a nervous energy. Mm-hmm. You know, you're so hyped up to play in front of the whiteout, playing in a playoff game in front of these fans, and you want to hit someone. Like you're not thinking, you're not playing the way that you want to play. And I think that definitely had an impact. And Vilardi even, he admitted it. He was like, "Yeah, I was a little nervous coming out. Like the crowd was crazy. It's playoff hockey. Yeah. Like the nerves were there, and I think the pressure was more on the Jets side than the Avs side." Mm-hmm. Given the fact they just beat them 7-0 a week ago, coming into this game, a lot of expectations, Avs kind of playing free, and it showed in those first 5 minutes.
You know, a lot's been talked about the Jets' performance at home. I said to you in the press box, and they hadn't won a game in front of a crowd at home since it was game one against Vegas in the Western Conference Final 2018.
Yeah.
So, you know, they didn't win any other games in that series. They had the Blues series, every team won on the road. And then they had the, you know, the Edmonton series where they swept. It wasn't in front of fans. Mm-hmm. And then last year they didn't win either. So it was the first win in a while. But it was Colorado getting off to the hot start there with a shot. Nikushkin went down, and just a beautiful shot over the top corner on Connor Hellebuck. And little do we know, it was the sign of things to come. There's going to be a lot of goals past Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll get into those goals. Mm-hmm. We'll maybe have to rapid-fire them because we talked about 13 goals. That one was a... And there's going to be a common theme. That one, messy neutral zone turnover, bad change, you know, sloppy mistakes that you don't see the Jets make very often, and it burned them. Incredible shot, but yeah, neutral zone turnover. And a lot of these goals follow that same theme with a turnover.
Yeah, it seemed like instead of, you know, going for the easy pass, they were going for a lot of cross-ice ones, and this was one that Vilardi couldn't get a stick on. Yep. They answered back, though, and there was some really nice movement on top at the blue line. Mm-hmm. Dylan, Connor, Morrissey, and Morrissey just floats a restaurant at 63.5 miles per hour.
Rocket.
Yeah. So that was on the scoreboard. I mean, you just got to get traffic in front, and it went in, and it just seemed like it was very nervous energy in the building, too, that and kinda, really brought it to life there. Yeah. So, I mean, he's a leader on defense, and nice of them to tie. I mean, if you want me to just keep going here?
Get to that second goal, because I want to talk about that one.
Sure. I mean... the Jets second. So it's tied 1-1.
Yeah.
You know, Avs go to break it out. Iafallo just gets a stick on a puck, tips it to the slot, and this goal was something I love more than than big slap shots from in close. Yeah. And the puck's rolling into Mestikov, and he put everything into this puck.
He fell hitting it.
Top corner. It was something to see, and it was kind of nervous, and it just lit up. Oh. It lit up there after that goal.
Yeah, and Iafallo, I mentioned, with the great play, breaking that pass up. And the crowd buildup and the crowd pop was great because the puck just kind of slid out to the slot. And you could see Nemestikov was just winding it up, putting everything into that. And he fires it over the glove side of Georgiev, giving the Jets a 2-1 lead, kind of overcoming that nervous, terrible start in a way. So the crowd was into it. They got the lead back, an early lead change. And yeah, Nemestikov, the fourth line, chipping in, making an impact early. And it was Nemestikov with a massive slap shot. Nothing better.
Yeah, and then Colorado, and you're like, okay, it's... Moose in from here, right?
Yeah.
No, Dylan Sandberg tries to take it around the net, and instead of going around, he tried to cut up the middle, and puck gets stripped, and Miles Wood, tips it. There's like two Colorado guys on Hellebuck and no Jets guys, and, you know, kind of a sloppy play there that led to the puck in the back of their net.
Yeah, and like I said, that first goal, this goal, a lot of sloppy plays. Even the Colorado goal, the Nemestikov goal that the Nemestikov goal where Colorado turned it over.
Yeah.
Lots of turnovers early on. I think there was maybe a little bit of nervous energy from both sides. But obviously the Jets being at home, a lot more nervous energy from them, and that Sandberg turnover was no different.
Yeah, actually, I had flashbacks to the Amadio overtime winner on that one. Maybe because it was Sandberg, but not
same spot too.
Similar. It was.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe his playoffs. Anyways, yeah. I don't want to dump all over Dylan Sandberg here, but you know they try to rim it around the boards, and Rantanen finds MacKinnon wide. He does a quick few stick handles there. I think changes the angle at all on Hellebuck and throws it through his legs. I think some people want to blame Hellebuck on this one, but I don't know. I think that's Nathan MacKinnon. I think he does change the angle there very quickly, and it's tough to track. I don't know where you land on that one.
Yeah, I mean, Hellebuck, a lot of these goals weren't his fault tonight. Rick Bonus said that. He wouldn't pin any of the goals. I don't know about that. I think this one, if you hooked Connor Hellebuck up to a lie detector test, I think this would be the goal he would want back the most. Again, just a one-on-one rush. Dylan DeMello's in the way, kind of making a good play. Mm-hmm. And like you said, MacKinnon's so good at deceptively changing the angle and beats Hellebuck five-hole. But on like at first glance, it didn't look great from Hellebuck's perspective. It's an outside shot, beats him five-hole. Not great. I think he'd want that one back. But a lot of these goals don't follow that same theme of him being the one to blame, because a lot of the goals were sloppy turnovers and just chaos in front of the net.
Yeah, chaos in front, a lot of tips as well.
Deflections, yeah. Screens.
Screens, yeah. I mean, and it's 3-2, you're like, what's going on? As soon as, you know, the Jets are up 2-1 and then you snap your fingers, it's 3-2. And, you know, next one, Vilardi finds Scheifele all alone in
great
front,
play.
3-3. The first period's not even over, and there's been six goals scored.
Yeah,
the place is going crazy. One of the wilder periods that I think I've maybe ever seen. Like, you don't see six goals in the first period of a Stanley Cup playoff game where you think it's going to be like tight checking, mistake-free hockey. It was pretty wild.
It was, and I think all six of those goals came within 9.5 minutes of actual game time. Just a wild sequence and a great play here. Kyle Connor forces the puck. He makes a play along the wall. Adam Lowry credited that in the post game, and then Gabriel Vilardi with a slick pass under the stick to Mark Scheifele. That top line played great. I think that was they were the best line both analytically and in real goals. I think they outscored their opponents 3-1 in this game. I thought they were their best line, and there it was, you know, getting the pucks deep and cycling it and getting a slot shot and a goal.
Yeah, I mean, I think as first period ending, you go back to the room, a little time to regroup, figure out, okay, how do we remember how to play our style of hockey?
Yeah.
I mean, Winnipeg that Jets allowing 3, you know, usually they don't allow 3 goals in a game. They went, how many games in a row? Not allowing 3, to allow 3 in a period.
Yeah, no
kidding. They're pretty wild, but I think Colorado was still taking it to the Jets in the second period. They're still out shooting them. At one point, it was 20-9. You know, there was a 4-on-4, and Josh Manson actually had a wide open chance, and he missed. Yeah. But this was a weirdo play. Niederreiter's stick broke at the blue line.
Yeah.
Adam Lowry in a 2-on-1 with Appleton, and he put it through the legs of Georgiev, and the crowd just exploded for the captain. Hit 110 decibels, Adam Lowry's first of the night, which was can I say iconic game in a game one?
Like, oh yeah,
just because this game was totally that crazy.
It was one of the best games of his career, no doubt. And this goal was awesome. Niederreiter, the play you mentioned along the wall without a stick, tying up Cale Makar, like that's a winning play. You don't need your stick to make that play, and he didn't need it. And then Adam Lowry scores and then points at Georgiev. That celebration is all over Jets Twitter right now. It's great. But the roof exploded, and I think the last 10 minutes of the second period leading into the first 10 minutes of the third, that 20-minute stretch was the best stretch of hockey for the Jets in this game, and it was Jets hockey. Like, they weren't giving up too much. They were dominating on the cycle, and then they had a few power plays as well and got going. But I think this stretch here is what they're looking to replicate in game two.
Yeah, I'd agree. That top line had a ton of pressure.
Totally.
Drew a penalty, and you saw the second power play actually start because of that.
Yep.
And I thought, you know, Nikolaj Ehlers, you know, I thought he was skating around well. You know, they didn't, you know, Nemestikov was, he's passing it around. Yeah. They had a couple, not like great chances. They're getting shots on goal and controlling the puck. And then, so I liked the way it was there. But I think for that stretch, they were really outplaying Colorado after it getting taken to them. Mm-hmm. The shots ended 25-17 after that second period, and you had to buckle up here for this third period, because it got pretty wild with a lot of the goals.
We should maybe rapid fire these in the third, because there was a lot.
Yeah, okay. There's only one goal in the second period, six in the first,
and six in the third.
Okay. Yeah. That's
crazy.
That's So you don't see games like this. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of control. Adam Lowry, his second of the game.
Yep.
This was a crazy one too. I mean, we're saying crazy.
Yeah, but
we're gonna have to put a counter up.
Yeah. True.
It was honestly
change it to
something.
Unreal now.
Yeah. It was something.
Yeah.
Lowry takes it to the net. Power move past Nathan McKinnon, and
it looked like it was in.
Yeah. Went off the post, off the other post. And then did it hit a third
post back, but it went in before it hit the third post.
Yeah.
But it did hit the third post. It was crazy.
And so the ref called it no goal, which I was like,
that's fine.
And then they went to review, and you weren't sure, okay, could they overturn this? Is there enough evidence? And there was like half a second where you could see white.
Just perfectly and was in.
Yeah, and the crowd, it was going bonkers. I mean, Adam Lowry, I don't want to say posterizing Nathan McKinnon, but
it's a really nice play.
It was a really
nice play and a really nice shift from that line. Mm-hmm. Talk about all the ways that you can stop Nathan McKinnon in the series. That's one of them. Cycling the puck down low, not letting him have the puck, and then beating him to the net and just powering the puck in. Like, that's just Adam Lowry. He had one of the best games of his career, and that goal was the reason. And the screenshots of the puck just barely being over the line were hilarious, because Adam Lowry joked in the post game. He said, "I don't know why I was so confident that it was in," because he looked at the replay and was like, "Whoa, that was a lot closer than it should have been." So he was confident in the moment, but then after looking at it, he didn't know why he was so confident. But it was 4-3 Jets nonetheless, and a huge goal.
They were celebrating, there weren't really too many penalties. There was a 4-on-4 before they had the power play, and there was a tripping call like right after, where the refs, they put their whistles away for a couple. I think it's like, no, you just got a power play. We're not giving you another.
It's the playoffs, man.
But Scheifele took an elbow to the face there, and the Jets went on the power play, and some really nice passing with Scheifele. Villari, Scheifele, Morrissey, Connor for the one timer, and it's 6-3, and I mean,
rocket.
The Jets power play, we talked all year with Gabe Vilardi again. I mean, it's been incredible, and they were 1-for-2 tonight, and I mean, 6-3, you should be, the Winnipeg Jets, third period, should be able to put the clamps down on these guys, right?
I think, but then the Avs come back with a goal, make it 6-4, and then Kyle Connor scores again to make it 7-4, that top line again, having an incredible game from those three guys, Vilardi, Scheifele, and Connor, and the power play was no different, a rocket of a shot from Kyle Connor. And then the seventh goal, kind of just working into that soft area in the slot, beat Georgiev over the glove side. Talked about all the ones that Hellebuck would want to have back. There was only maybe one, maybe two. There was a lot for Georgiev that I think he would have liked to have back. He was not great on this night, and there's definitely going to be some goaltending questions for the Avs going forward, I think.
Yeah. Goaltending questions, maybe some defense questions too. A number of odd man rushes and letting guys
go to the
net. Definitely a little bit of both. But yeah, goaltending has been a topic for the Avs all year, but they weren't helping him out a ton. But again, we'll see. I think at one point they were shooting like, I don't know, there's a little shot to goal ratio not what you want for the Avs. Just their goal there was on the power play. Appleton took a penalty. Mm-hmm. Just a point shot from Makar tipped in by Lekkonen. Mm-hmm. And then fans start chanting, pull the goalie.
Pull the goalie.
Pull the goalie. And it's, what is it? They're 7-4 at that point?
Yeah.
And then, Makar shoots from the point. I think this one went straight in.
Yeah, it did. Makar's goal, 7-5.
Yeah, he was the third star of the game.
Yeah.
And then, then later on, Vilardi had a nice 2-on-1 Connor and Scheifele had that 2-on-1 where Connor whiffed on the pass.
Yeah.
And 6-on-4, and again, Avalanche looking so dangerous. Like, every time Nathan McKinnon had the puck, you were nervous.
Yeah.
They tight defense. They did eventually get one, and this was one of the stranger goals you'll see. Mm-hmm. I think it was a shot on goal,
yeah.
bounced up off Hellebuck's pad, off to here. This is
Mittelstadt. Batted it off of Dylan's like back or something.
Yeah. Okay. Wait.
Over Hellebuck. Yeah.
It was okay. I wrote this down. I had to watch it like three yeah. times. Oh yeah, Pionk tried to get it out. There was a rebound. There was a shot rebound off Hellebuck's pad. Lekkonen hits it. Then Mittelstadt out of the air, and then I think off Hellebuck, and then off like Dylan.
What?
Yeah. And then in. It was such a strange goal, and it's 7-6. And I think a lot of Jets fans like your heart is like oh, but there was only 30 seconds left. The end of the game, 7-6. Yeah. The final. The Jets were outshot 45-23. You know, not what you want from the Winnipeg totally. Jets, and I think they're pretty aware.
Yes.
But you got the win. You're up 1-0.
You're up 1-0.
Yeah. What's the win streak now?
9 straight. Got the 2 points.
9 straight. Yeah, get the two points in regulation. Up that record regulation
four
win total.
Swing. Yeah, no.
Yeah. So, yeah, division game, but yeah. no, none of that matters. 1-0 exactly. in the first round. And, I don't know, you got the win, and you'll have to clean a lot up. I don't know how much you can really take away. Like, I didn't think the first period was going to be like, yeah, the whole series
yeah,
is going to be like this. And they tighten it up in the second. And I think you want to see more of that style of period. Yeah. But the third, they were kind of hanging on there at the end, but managed to pull out the win.
Yeah, and it is concerning that the Jets, you know, did kind of fail to hold a 7-4 lead. Or mm-hmm. they didn't blow it, but it was close there for a bit. But yeah, that second period, that 10-minute stretch before and after the second intermission mm-hmm. that I mentioned, that's Winnipeg Jets hockey. That's what they're going to try and replicate in game two. And the atmosphere is going to be, this place is going to be rocking. They have a chance to go up 2-0 in the series. And I was just down in the media room. Velarde, Dylan, Lowry, Connor, and Bonus all spoke. They all know that this wasn't their best game. They didn't play well. They got the win, and it was nice to see the stars, the top line for the Jets, step up in a big way. And you can bank on, I think, the second line and the third line being, well, Lowry had a great game, maybe the second and fourth line being a lot better in the next game. But yeah, tightening things up defensively is obviously priority number one, and stopping Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. They were fantastic for the Avs on this night. And we'll see who starts in net for the Avs in game two, because Georgiev let in a lot of soft ones.
Yeah, that's something to watch for sure. I know the fans were chanting, pull the goalie.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Maybe the Avs will. Yeah.
We'll see what happened. But yeah. Connor, this was an incredible atmosphere. It was great to be here. Looking forward to game two. You know, it's Sunday. Normally, you know, you record Jets Weekly,
yes,
and we have it on. Yeah. We're doing this instead. I don't know. Did you have people want to know who's? Do you have a hardest working Jet for game one here?
Playoffs? Yeah, I'm gonna go with Adam Lowry just because.
Okay.
Maybe he's the first star too, but I keep saying he had one of the best games of his career, and not only did he have the goals, but he had a ton of shifts where he was cycling the puck in the offensive zone, that third line. And every time MacKinnon had the puck, you could see him chugging back, trying to catch him. He's going to have to be the hardest working Jet in this series, I think, if the Jets want a chance to maybe shut down MacKinnon a little bit. And in this game, I believe he was. As for the three stars, I might just go with a sweep of the top line with Connor, Scheifele, and Velarde. I don't know what you think, but maybe Morrissey finds his way in there. But I thought the top line was fantastic on this night. A lot of questions coming in, and rightfully so, given their analytics and the fact that they were outscored in the regular season. But game one of the playoffs, they stepped up, and they were the reason that the Jets got the win on this night. So I'm going to go with a three-star sweep of the top line and hardest-working Jet, Adam Lowry.
Yeah, the whole team, I mean, they got outshot. So you look at, you know, shot attempts against, you know, four against. It's not going to be great for anyone, but that top line was very strong. So, you know, we'll see if any of this carries into the next game. The atmosphere was, I mean, it was something else here, getting national attention. And
a lot of media.
Yeah. I mean, Sunday, maybe because of the Sunday night time slot, like maybe. 6 p.m., you know, Tuesday's game, 8:30 p.m. start. Mm. You know, we'll have to see what the crowd is like then. We will be here on YouTube, but talking about it after the game, so
can't wait.
I think
it'll be late.
Yeah,
but
it'll be late. We'll be here.
We'll be here. Yeah.
I think we've said all that we can say.
Yeah.
Is there any other closing comments about this one?
I think look for Connor Hellebuyck to bounce back in game two. The Jets did give up a lot of grade A chances, and like I said, maybe just the one goal where he'd like to have it back. But I still think he sees six goals. He's going to want to bounce back. And look for a better game out of that second line. I thought Ehlers was really skating well in the first two periods, but Monahan and Toffoli didn't really generate as much as I would have thought. The second line, I think, and Connor Hellebuyck are going to bounce back in game two, and it's up to the rest of the team to carry that performance forward and for the fans to replicate that atmosphere. And I think the Jets are in a good spot heading into game two.
Yeah, you got to be happy up 1-0. So if you did make it this far in the video, hey, hit the thumbs up below. Subscribe to the channel. If you're listening on the podcast, hey, rate and review. It helps us. Tells YouTube, tells Apple Podcast, hey, we're putting out great content here. And maybe it'll show it to some people who don't know what we're doing here at Winnipeg Sports Talk. Tune in on Monday morning with Hustler, Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily. I'll be joining him, Jeff Hamilton, as well. A lot of reaction. I want to hear Hustler. He was in the crowd. We were up in press row. But it definitely, I know it's a different experience. He was taking in the party at the plaza. So he posted some picture on our Instagram as well. So give us a follow on all the social medias if you want more Winnipeg Sports Talk content. Links in the description. For Connor Rabchak, I'm Michael Remus. This has been the Winnipeg Sports Talk, Winnipeg Jets postgame report. Thank you so much, and we'll see you all in game two.
See you Tuesday.